The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
With Terence Pillay.
Good morning, Terence.
Morning, Darren.
Drunk driving, eh?
It's a tough one. It's barely the start of the festive season. Already there are tragedies on our road. You know, drunk driving is a scourge in our society because it's not a victimless crime. And I feel I must pin my colors to the mast right up front and say that this segment is a very personal one for me because my close friend, Andy Carey, was just 28 years old and was involved in an accident where a drunk driver knocked him over. He died on the weekend. Just 28 years old. It's heartbreaking. There are so many people out there who fall prey to this madness, stupidity, recklessness, and lawlessness. So the fact is, when you drink and drive, your senses are impaired, right? We all know this.
Yes.
For example, there are these year-end parties that take place in Plettenberg Bay, Mschlange, and Wentworth. It's called Rage, and what happens every year is thousands of people, mostly teenagers but also adults, get together, get completely trash and alcohol, and then get into a car and drive.
Yeah.
I know a person whose child was killed in one of these incidents in Wentworth, in a drunk driving incident. And the reality is that people's judgments are impaired, and not only in terms of driving and not being able to see obstacles on the road or their reaction time, but also their judgment of their own sobriety. Because how many times have you heard someone say, oh, I'm perfectly fine to drive, I've only had six beers.
And I've also heard people say, oh, I drive better when I'm drunk.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
And that's not acceptable. You are over the legal limit. In my opinion, the legal limit should actually be zero because everyone is different. For example, I can have half a glass of wine and my judgment will be impaired because I'm not really a drinker. But for someone else, the level of impairment will be different. So the only way to be certain that you're not going to get yourself into an accident or kill someone or some innocent bystander is not to drink and drive. But the fact of the matter is there are innumerable campaigns around it, and people can scream till they're blue in their face, but every year we read of these incidents of deaths and carnage on our roads because of drunk driving. People do it because in South Africa we are generally pretty lawless, and that has to change. It has to do with the small things, like the lady in Westville who skips the red light because she doesn't want to wait at the traffic light. You know, the taxi driver who stops on the shoulder of the road to drop off and pick up passengers, or the person who takes out his 9mm gun and shoots a brown house snake twice. We live in a society where breaking little laws seems to be the norm. But the law is the law, and rules are rules. But everybody wants to bend the rules just a little bit. It's like jumping a queue in a supermarket, or when the waiter undercharges you, for example, in a restaurant. You know, you don't say, sorry, you didn't charge me for that second cappuccino. You say, I scored. And obviously I'm speaking in very general terms here, but we tend to push the limits of what's legal and acceptable in this country. And I imagine we react this way because we feel the police do it, the politicians do it, and why shouldn't we? And coming up, I'm going to tell you about the psychology behind people who break the law.
It really is the craziest thing. We get the stats every year, and we get the information, and we're told all the time on radio adverts, TV adverts, print adverts, everyone is telling you, do not drink and drive. Don't even little bit drink and drive, but we do it all the time. What is wrong with us?
Yeah, and you know, I was saying to you that there's the psychology of why people break the law, and then there's the machinery of state that operates in a way that it's nonsensical as far as I'm concerned, which adds to everything. So you have a roadblock on the M4 at 11 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday. What is the point of that? You know, was there some intelligence reasoning for doing that? Did they know that people perhaps were having year-end parties and they were going to see how many people they could catch to make their year-end quota? Or was it because they were merely more convenient to do that at 11 o'clock in the morning so that their bosses don't have to pay overtime? There might have been a rational reason for it, but in terms of combating crime, they're not doing much at that time of the day. On Friday last week, I went to a friend's place for dinner, and because I don't drink, I'm generally the designated driver. And so I ended up lifting some friends down to Florida Road, and I drove into absolute chaos on that street. People were double parked everywhere, some pouring out of busy restaurants, visibly drunk, and then getting into their cars. And what does the only metro police on that road do? He overtakes all the double parkers to get to the front of the queue and drives off. So for me, they didn't stop to say to the drivers of those cars, you're parked illegally. Move on.
Move on,
There are people spilling out of all those clubs and bars on Florida Road and getting into their cars and driving drunk. Where was a roadblock at the bottom of Florida Road at that time at night, which for me would have been... would have been a deterrent to breaking the law.
Sure, as you're arriving, you could see, okay, this is a roadblock area, don't drink and try and get home on this route. Better than, say, 11 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, there's so many options now. You've got Uber, Goodfellas, Buddies, Meter Taxis, and any number of driver services that you can use. And, you know, certain banks are offering a point-to-point pickup as well as part of their value-added service.
Oh.
And then, of course, you have the establishments that sell alcohol. I want to know, in terms of their liquor licenses, for example, are they being diligent enough to say to the person who comes to the bar that is clearly over the limit, I hope you're not driving? You know, you need to balance that social responsibility with obviously your desire to make money.
You know, they're very good at that in the States and in Australia, where the bar staff and the management are they're trained, and they literally say to your face, "No, mate, no more for you."
I know, I experienced that in Australia. It's amazing. But the other thing that really gets me as well is that people who use social media to warn others about roadblocks. I've come across a father of teenagers happily posting on Facebook, "There's a roadblock on the M13 going into Hillcrest, be careful." And you think, really? So you're actually encouraging your children to break the law and how not to get caught and potentially kill an innocent person on the road. For me, I don't care who you are, what your position is, or what you believe your position is in society. If you get stopped at a roadblock and I'm made to blow into a breathalyzer and are found to be over the legal limit, you must spend time in jail. I know people are going to say that our prisons are terrible places and you can't put people who have merely drunk over the limit with rapists and murderers, but that's the risk you take. You know what the system is like. You know that this is South Africa, not the Netherlands, where they've closed down 19 prisons over the last 10 years because they don't have enough prisoners. You know this is a country that has violent criminals incarcerated, so you don't want to put yourself in a position where you're sharing your bed with some hardened criminal.
Yeah.
And for me, that has to happen in order for it to be a deterrent.
Well, there are two sides to that theory. And if you want to engage with Terrence more on this one, you can contact him directly on his Twitter. It's at Terrence Pillay, 1R in Terrence. Thank you, Terrence.
Thanks, Darren. East Coast Breakfast.